I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Spanish football writer and podcaster Jack Benson. Jack Benson is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, which centers on one basic question. What on earth was that? Yes, Jack is here to discuss Atletico's devastating 2-1 loss to Sevilla in the Copa del Rey quarterfinal first leg at the Wanda Metropolitano. A sad night both on and off the pitch as a 22-year-old Atletico fan was stabbed outside the stadium. The latest reports indicating he is in grave condition in a Madrid hospital. But beside that, Atleti really quite tragic defensively, especially in the second half with two crucial mistakes, an own goal from Miguel Angel Moya and a Joaquin Correa goal created by both Moya and centre-back Stefan Savic screwing up. Those two goals giving Sevilla a healthy advantage. Two away goals. They give Sevilla a healthy advantage ahead of next week's second leg in Andalusia. We'll break down the positives too, as well as the negatives. Diego Costa scoring Atletico's only goal. He continues to look like a beast since his return from his lengthy post-Chelsea layoff. We'll also preview Girona's visit to the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday. The last time these two played, it was a really wild 2-2 draw, a comeback draw for 10-man Atletico. We'll analyze what's changed since then and what'll be different this time around. Before we launch into all that, however, make sure you subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Hopefully you like us that much, but leave a rating and review to help us get more eyes and ears on the program. We'd really, really appreciate it. Also, something else we'd appreciate, if you would consider becoming a patron, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. You can join a small but energetic community of Colchonero Chat listeners who receive some pretty cool benefits, including access to our bonus pods with Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker, or the Room Roundup pods that come out every Monday. So if you're interested in hearing those, make sure to become a patron, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We'll be back with Jack Benson after this. End of the tunnel, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't it weird? This is the second time I've had you on this season, and it's both times have been after a really devastating result.
Yeah, I know. It's quite depressing.
It wasn't by design, but because it's like the podcasting gods know that I'm about to have you on, and they make Atletico play really badly.
Yeah, it was a really frustrating game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the good things first, I suppose.
Are there any?
I mean, a couple. But yeah. The biggest one is Costa. And
yeah.
Costa looked like an animal again. He capped off, I think, a really just brutal performance in a good way with that goal in the 73rd minute from a deflected Carrasco shot. Bounce right to him, finish with the left foot, easy as you like. I think he was pretty clearly Atletico's best player. He looks just in immense physical shape. He's looked incredible.
Yeah, which, you know, credit to Profe Ortega.
Yep, absolutely.
Master stroke. It's been quite striking, actually, how much he's hit the ground running, because that was, I think, the biggest concern for a lot of people, was how he was going to get used to playing, you know, competitive football again after about six or so months out. But he's just phenomenal. It's like he's never left.
Exactly, and he hasn't missed a beat. He looks just like he never left, and he should have had two goals if that first one wasn't denied for a mystery foul.
Yeah.
That on, like, 10 replays, I still didn't see.
Yeah. But that's just the way he is, isn't it? He's so brutal and bullish, and it's something that we've never been able to replace until now.
Yeah, in spurts. I mean, Mandzukic was the closest Atletico came to replacing that, but even then, Mandzu didn't last more than a year.
No.
So that was a positive thing. Vitolo played really, really well too, although he came off at halftime.
Yeah, I was surprised he was subbed off at halftime. I would have thought, if anything, Koke or Saul would have been hooked.
Yeah, because those guys weren't good. It was weird with Vitolo. He got into channels really well, and he looked. Simeone has mentioned before how important he is linking defense to attack, and I think he did a really excellent job in that first half. I mean, I think he had like a half chance, maybe two half chances, but it was really weird to see him come off after 45 minutes. And for Correa, who didn't make much of an impact, and who I don't really think the team needed.
No, absolutely. I mean, the biggest frustration is that this was the first time we'd seen Costa, Griezmann, and Vitolo all together, and it lasted less than 45 minutes. And the first 45, it wasn't exactly a bad performance, but I'm just now concerned that after the way it went last night, that Cholo's going to be very cautious in then playing all three of them together again, which is so frustrating because not many teams in Europe, let alone in Spain, have that good of an attack on paper. But they need to actually play together and be given consistent minutes together to kind of develop an understanding, so then we can see the fruits of that attack.
Yeah, exactly. The signs I saw were positive, but again, it only lasted 45 minutes. It's hard to draw that many conclusions from it. And I hope that I agree. That is the concern watching Atletico as we do and knowing Simeone and his tactics like we do. There is a concern that maybe he doesn't abandon this, but he puts it aside for a couple games, that he just kind of puts it in the back of his mind and doesn't really go to it. And that would be unfortunate because this has the potential to be a really, really promising trident.
Yeah, exactly. You could see it even in the Yeda game when Costa and Vitolo came on for their debuts. Even then, the signs were there, but they need to be given consistent minutes together. Otherwise, it's just never gonna work.
Yeah, Costa's suspension didn't help matters, especially with his partnership with Griezmann. That was a game that I think they needed to play together, but Costa couldn't play. So that didn't help matters, but the only way they're going to get better is if they play together. And I agree. I hope Simeone doesn't abandon this.
Well, I mean, certainly in the cup, he doesn't really have a choice, because we need to go to Seville and play attacking football and take the game to them. Otherwise, we'll be out of the cup.
And let's talk about why we need to go to Sevilla and win 2-0 or 3-1. Moya's second half was just that was a display. That was a thing that happened. That was some goalkeeping.
See, I feel sorry for Moya because it's tough being an understudy to someone like Jan Oblak when you know that regardless of how hard you train, you won't be first choice keeper. And I think every single time he's come in and kind of deputized for Oblak, he's played well, and I think it's now starting to catch up with him.
Yeah, this was the worst time to have a bad game. It really was. I mean, Moya's been at Atletico for 3.5 years now. He has been consistently solid, and that's perfect for a backup goalkeeper, for a guy who has started for several a couple of really lengthy spells since he and Oblak were brought in. And he's been really solid. He's been a really loyal servant to the club. He's donned the captain's band before. He's a veteran. He's been around Spain. He knows what the deal is. He just had a really bad game. And he didn't all of a sudden become a crap keeper. You know, Moya's a fine goalkeeper. He always has been. But he just had a really, really bad last 15 minutes. The first goal was just a weird one. The deflection off Lucas, and Moya just misread it. You don't expect that kind of deflection. The second goal that Correa scored in the 88th minute, it's just so many errors on that one. Between Moya and between Savage, who also had another bad game. Godin.
Yeah, which is really frustrating because actually in the first half, he looked decent. I mean, it wasn't amazing. Still would have preferred to have Hosemann in there. But he looked decent, and then second half he just kind of reverted back to the savage that we love to hate.
Yeah, sometimes I'd rather have a traffic cone starting than him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Savage is just, in this kind of game, with the kind of options Sevilla have, and I know Sevilla have been in really, really terrible form, but they have talent, they have a lot of pacey players. They played a midfield three of Sarabia, Mudo Vasquez, and Correa, which is by far their best midfield three, in their best attacking midfield three. And as the game went on, they gave a lot of problems, especially after Atletico went ahead. They just provided a lot of problems. And Mudo Vasquez came off for Jesus Navas, who delivered that cross that kind of twirled into the goal that was an own goal from Moya. And Savage, I have no idea what he was trying to do. I don't have no idea what this defense on Correa was. And then Godin was just covering space that he shouldn't have had to cover because Savage wasn't there.
Yeah. The defending was like, as a whole, for that second goal was a shambles. I mean, we made Sevilla look like a top-class team again in the second half. Not because they were doing anything amazing or they were particularly good, but there were so many errors. And a lot of them were needless as well. And a lot of them were created by ourselves.
It's kind of inexplicable how Atleti just made this so much harder than it should have been. I mean, Sevilla have picked up, I think, 1 point from the last five games in La Liga, so 1 out of 15 possible. They lost to freaking Alaves at the weekend,
and they
looked terrible doing it. And they come to the Wanda Metropolitano, and they stepped up their game, and Atleti, I think Atleti took them seriously, but the errors they made, and I think there was a certain stubbornness in attack. Everything was going through the middle. It was relatively easy to cut out as the game went along. I think Atleti really, really missed Felipe Luis. For like the first time since Felipe went out, they truly missed him.
Yeah. And, well, this is kind of leading on nicely to something that I want to talk about, which is Lucas. Because he is so good, and there is so much potential there. But I think he needs to stop playing left back. He needs to be a centre half full time, because there were times last night where he'd get the ball out wide and he'd just kind of look awkward receiving it and wasn't really sure what to do with it, kind of in an attacking sense. And then in the second half, when Sevilla were pressing high up the pitch, there were a few times where he kind of got himself into a pretty bad position with the ball and ended up having to kind of hoof it into the stands or kind of hoof it upfield instead of having that composure to know what to do and just play a simple pass instead of turning yourself into trouble and almost getting caught.
Yeah, this isn't the first time we've talked about Lucas not being a left back, because he's not a left back. He's a center back. He's always been a center back. But you don't have another left back. So, well, they do in Sergi, but Sergi's playing with the B team.
Yeah,
I think Sergi needs to play more. I really do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of feels like we say this every time I'm on. He does need more minutes, because Lucas, it's going to end up hurting his development if he ends up just becoming this guy that can play centre half, but also, you know, he needs to have that position nailed down.
Yep.
And the position that he needs to nail down isn't a backup left back.
And that Savage is still getting that position over him, and getting that position over Jimenez. It's a step away from being criminal.
Yeah.
You know, Savage isn't a bad center back. I think he's fine, but he's pretty clearly Atletico's fourth best center back out of four.
Yeah.
Like, he would be first choice for a lot of other teams. I just not at this one. And Simeone has got to realize that.
Exactly.
I mean, we're halfway through the season. He hasn't realized it yet, but we can hope that someday he will realize it.
Well, even last season, the signs were clear.
Yeah.
That he wasn't up to the level that he needed to be a first choice centre back at Atletico. And yet he's still there.
He's still there. He won't go away. He's still there.
No. I mean, he's certainly stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah, and which brings me back to just the stubbornness I think Atletico played with. Just without Felipe Luis, everything became just so constricted, and Lucas just can't come close to he can replicate what Felipe does defensively. Lucas, I think, was very good defensively in the first half. Not as much in the second half, and he was great at the weekend against Eibar defensively, but he cannot do anything going forward. And that's not a criticism of his game. It's just his strength. Those are not his strengths.
Exactly. And it kind of underlines just how good and how key Felipe Luis is to this team.
Do you think it's a bad thing that Atleti are still so reliant on Felipe, who's going to be 33 this year?
I don't think so, because he seems like the type of player that does look after his body very well and could play until, well, certainly for another few years. But at some point over the next kind of season and a half, two seasons, you will notice a slowdown in what he can produce. You know, he's not going to be able to run up and down the wing and completely dominate that left side for any more than a couple of seasons into the future. So I wouldn't say it's a concern as of yet, but it's an area that needs to be in the back of the club's mind that, you know, he isn't going to be around forever, and at some point we do need to move on.
I think as long as he's still good, then sure, rely on him, but he's going to be 33 this year, and, you know, we know what happened to Juanfran between ages 32 and 33. You know, he just completely dropped off as an elite fullback, so I always think that can happen to Felipe, but so far it hasn't. I mean, he's been hurt a couple times this year, but nothing serious. You know, unfortunately, Atleti kind of needed him on Wednesday, and he hasn't been given the full medical clearance yet. He's back training, but hasn't been given the full clearance yet. What else we got? Oh, the substitutes. We have to talk about Fernando Torres. I think it's time we have this conversation about putting Torres out to pasture. I'm sorry, this is going to be controversial, but I'm tired of Fernando Torres playing. I'm done. He's not at this level that Simeone and Torres himself seems to still think he's at.
No, I mean, I think this season was always going to be more symbolic for him in moving with us to the new stadium. But yeah, I absolutely agree. There is no way that he should be getting minutes, regardless of whether it's in the cup or not. He's not good enough anymore.
I think the fact that his goals this season have come against two third division sides and a side battling relegation from La Liga, that tells you everything you need to know. I mean, Torres has no business playing in a game against a team playing in Europe like Sevilla. He just doesn't. You have lots of other options. I mean, why didn't Gamero play when you needed a goal? It's clear Atletico were panicking after the own goal. But why put on Torres? He's just going to slow everything down.
I mean, the only argument you can make is that he has more of a physical presence than Kevin. But I still can't really see why you would require that sort of physical presence against Sevilla.
I mean, yeah, why are you going to need him to win headers? Why are you going to need him to muscle guys off the ball? He's just going to fall over.
We've seen plenty of times this season that Sevilla, in defense, they can get a perception of space very easily. If you have someone who can play off the shoulder, it's very easy for them to lose their marker. So Kevin Gamero would have made complete sense to sub on.
Yep, his speed and his the dynamism he would have brought, because you can play him up top with Costa and drop Griezmann back into, you know, more comfortable, although Griezmann was off at this time.
Yeah,
Griezmann was off because Carrasco replaced him. And I think Carrasco was okay, still not good enough. Carrasco was okay. Correa wasn't very good. So it's the second straight game that the substitutes have kind of not made much of an impact. Atleti got away with it against Eibar, but couldn't against Sevilla.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of people, they think that this squad is kind of stacked with attacking talent just because of the names Angel Correa, Yannick Carrasco, and the kind of reputations that they've got. but they haven't really done, like, looking back on it, they haven't really done much to earn those reputations. It's kind of all bark and no bite.
Yeah. I mean, Correa, we talked about his potential forever, and this has been, I think, on balance, a good season for him, but there's so much more that hasn't been tapped yet, and Carrasco has just been kind of a waste this season. And Costa just came back. Bartolo just came in. You know, Griezmann's been so up and down. He wasn't very good on Wednesday, I didn't think. He still needs, as we talked about, more time with Costa and more time with Bartolo for them to really link up together. And Torres just isn't really, he's a nothing. He's just not really anything anymore. So I mean, it's unfortunate to say because he's a legend, but he's just not really anything anymore.
Yeah.
And it stinks, but that's where we're at with that. So that happened Wednesday night. Is this adios to the Copa?
I don't think so. I think Atleti will manage to pull it out of the bag down in Seville. I think it will be tough, but I still think that this... We made Sevilla look way better than they actually are, and I don't think Simeone will allow the team to make that mistake again.
If you cut out a couple of these mistakes, this is a very different game. You bring in Oblak instead of Moya, and that's it's going to be very helpful. You'll have Felipe back in place of Lucas. Probably take Savage out and put Lucas or Jimenez next to Godin. I mean, yeah, I can see Atleti making a comeback, but it's going to be extremely tough. I'm not as optimistic as you, but then again, I'm rarely the optimistic one on this podcast.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm hugely optimistic,
well,
but
sure.
I just think that those mistakes are very easy to cut out of the game. And I still think Sevilla are very vulnerable. We just need to have the courage to attack them and expose that vulnerability again.
Yeah, it's going to take a 2-0 win, a 2-goal win by any margin. Last time Atletico won by two or more goals at Sevilla was August 30th of 2015. Jackson Martinez scored in that game, a 3-0 win.
God, what a throwback that is.
Yeah. Cha-cha-cha. And this is also the first time Atleti conceded two goals in a game against Sevilla since the 2013 Copa del Rey semifinals. In that that second leg, that crazy 2-2 game in the second leg.
Yeah.
That Atleti got the draw in that game and still managed to go on to the final. So it's going to take a lot. I think they can do it. I'm just not confident that they will. I mean, this two away goals that's a tough pill to swallow.
Well, yeah, okay, I suppose I should rephrase my prediction. I think they could, but whether they will do is another issue.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I can see them doing it, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, the Sevilla team has just been really, for most of the season, just pretty poor, despite the names that they have and the depth that they have. But we'll see. That's next week. And yeah, I mean, this wasn't the only upset on Wednesday, though, as Barcelona fell at Espanyol. They fell in Cornea, which is a bit of a surprise, although I think they're just going to wallop Espanyol in the second leg.
Yeah.
I don't give Espanyol much of a chance of progressing. Well, a nice night for them, but they still have to go to Camp Nou for the second leg. And then Valencia just held off Alaves. It's like they're winning every game like 2-1 now. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, they're saying that. Even for Alaves' goal, the defending was pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of space that was allowed, it was a really soft goal for Valencia to concede, and I'm sure Marcelino will be kicking himself.
So, that's how the cup is going. At least Atletico aren't the only ones in this boat. But yeah, you got to think Barcelona will overturn that. Let's talk about Girona at the weekend. This will be a pretty fascinating game, I think. Last time these two met up at Montilivi, it was opening week of the season. It was 2-2. This was a crazy game. Girona went ahead 2-0, and then Atleti had to fight back through Correa and Jimenez in the second half. Girona have just, they just destroyed Las Palmas at the weekend. 6-0, and I think the standout guy for them has been Christian Stuani.
Yeah, I mean, without a year, he's been fantastic. I mean, he was, you know, a decent striker at Espanyol. Moved to Barra, didn't really work out for him there, over in England. But he's a difficult player to kind of mark, and it's not really surprising the amount, when you provide him the service, it's not really surprising to see him scoring the amount of goals that he's scoring. I don't think many people are expecting Girona to be able to kind of feed him consistently.
And they've been able to do that. I mean, he's a really, really strong striker. I think that's always been true. He's a really just strong. He's great with his head, and he's like a bit of like a bull in a china shop, but it's really effective. It's not pretty how he goes about his business, but it's devastatingly effective. So he is the guy to watch, I think. And Girona, just they've been just consistently really good. They have as many goals as Atletico in the league.
Oh, bloody hell, do they actually?
Yeah.
Blimey, that's quite scary.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, Girona, they've been by far the biggest surprise of the season in the league.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, obviously they've got a lot of links with City and got some promising youngsters on loan, but regardless of the youngsters, it's experienced La Liga players that are kind of proving vital for them. And they've turned their home form into something that's quite formidable. And I think that's always key for teams that are aiming to avoid relegation, is strong home form, which they've had right from the start of the season. And they're just a really well-run, kind of lovable club.
And they're really well-coached, too. I mean, you mentioned this La Liga experience they have. Alex Grinnell has been just really good this season. Borja García has been really good this season. Porto has been really good this season. Those are three other top performers. And then you brought in Stuani, who has just, you know, he's got 10 goals. Like, who saw that coming? And they have a lot of options. Their fullback play is usually really good. They're basically wingbacks because they like to play three at the back, three center backs. So they're a tricky team, and they should have beaten Atletico in week one. Atleti came back, though. I foresee kind of another tight game this weekend, especially with perhaps a bit of a hangover from this cup result on Wednesday. I don't think Girona will come to the Wanda Metropolitano and win, but they're going to give it their all. They're not as good away from home as they are at home. Like, the numbers are, shall we say, a lot different. But they're gonna give this one a battle, and I think I'd like to get out of here with a slight win, but it won't be convincing.
No, it'll be a classic 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0.
1-0. Yeah. I mean, the most that we can kind of get out of this game, I think, is giving more minutes to the Trident, and helping them to develop more of an understanding together, especially against a defence that is very well organised, like Girona's. It'll be interesting to see how Costa, in particular, manages to deal with the three centre-halves, because normally he's very good, which will be as easy. And then Griezmann, I think he still needs to find a role in this team, with Costa in it, because he likes to drop deep and receive the ball a bit like Messi. He's kind of the Atletico equivalent of Messi in that sense.
Right.
But that's not where he's at. He is as effective. And I think he needs to stop coming so deep and learn to play kind of off the shoulder a little bit from Costa, which is going to be tough to kind of force him to adapt his game. But I think against a well-drilled opponent like Girona, it's kind of the perfect test for them.
Yeah, I agree. And this is not we had an article that Robbie wrote a couple weeks ago about this topic and how Griezmann's role might change yet again. And it's just, has to change because it just has to with this force like Costa and the team. And Griezmann cannot really be the Messi. He has to adapt. He has to play it kind of behind Costa in like a 4-4-1-1 or a hybrid like that. Mm-hmm. And he's played like three or four different roles this season. He's played as a number nine. He's been a number 10. He's been a trequartista. I mean, he's been three or four different players. His performances have suffered, but he's now got to pick himself up and again, readjust.
Yeah, it will be tough for him, but this is where I think we'll see whether he is a truly world-class player or not.
Yeah, the last time these two met, Griezmann got sent off. Yeah, and then Atleti had to switch to three at the back themselves and really shift attack points and open up play in a different way than they've been used to, and that's what helped them come back and get the draw. Because they had to switch everything up tactically. I don't know. I don't think Simeone's going to do that again. He hasn't gone back. He hasn't gone to three at the back since that game, which is a little disappointing. But I think Atleti are going to want to take the play to Girona, and I think they'll win, but it'll be a close one.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got, Matt? I saw Sound of La Liga is back. That's great news.
Yeah, it certainly is. First pod was recorded a couple of days ago. It's weird being back and podcasting again.
Yeah.
It's like London buses. None come for ages and now two come at once. I've done two in a week.
Brilliant.
So it's nice to be back. I'm just going to try and build up that following again. But, yeah.
Sound of La Liga, give it a listen. You're also going to be running a marathon in October.
Yes, I am, yeah, the Budapest Marathon, in order to raise money for Action Against Hunger. They're a charity that are aiming to wipe out world hunger by 2030, and I'll post the link again on Twitter, so feel free to donate. But yeah, I'm running it on the 12th of October 2018, despite having two lots of knee surgery done. 2017, so that will be interesting.
Yeah. Try not to fall apart.
I cannot promise you that.
You'll try though. Check out Jack's link. It's pinned to the top of his Twitter page. It's a pretty cool cause, so check that out. All right. Well, that was Jack Benson. You can follow him on Twitter at Jack_Benson1. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron, and you can follow Into the Calderon as well. At Into the Calderon, like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, make sure to leave a rating and a review. It helps us get more eyes and ears on the program. And also head over to our Patreon page if you're interested in supporting the show in a different kind of way, patreon.com/Colt Gennaro Chat. We'll be back on Monday with Rob Walker. We'll have our bonus rumor roundup pod, and it'll be great. Until then, adios.